somnat.
You have to laugh, Sean, when you see these things. It's like you have to question, what are they doing? Are they doing it on purpose? Where is the evidence? They could have literally written an article based on telemetry data telling us they landed on the moon, and that's more believable than the animation that they showed us.
Hey, friends. Thanks so much for tuning in. Sean from SGT Report here. That, of course, was my longtime friend David Weiss. He and Jaren, you know him as Jarenism from YouTube. Well, they're back for another episode of Woo. Did you hear that India just landed a spacecraft on the moon? Well, as you just saw, the evidence for that amazing scientific accomplishment is overwhelming and palpable. Next stop, Mars. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's great to have you guys back for a little conversation about a little something called Woo. What is this thing we live on, and what is it that they don't want us to know, friends? I'm so glad to have on the line David Weiss and Jaren from the Jarenism channel over on YouTube, guys. As you're watching this celebratory footage of the historical moon landing play before you, it got so easy, recall, to get to the moon that they brought a dune buggy, which folded up neatly into the lunar lander, we're told. 51 years ago, friends, 51 years ago. What an accomplishment. Well, get this. Men are finally returning to the moon. Did you hear the one about India landing on the moon? Well, let me welcome my guests, and then we'll look at some of that footage, because it's truly stunning. It might even move you to tears, the heights to which humanity can soar. David Weiss, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me back. These are always fun conversations with people that are willing to address the deceptions that are put right in front of our faces that most of the world just falls for.
And Jaren, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Thanks, Sean. Always great to be here. Doing fantastic, other than more fakery going on in the world.
Well, we're going to turn David loose here in just one second, because he sent me a video that I thought was hysterical. South Park does such a good job, and as you guys know, South Park seems to be ahead of the game. Like The Simpsons, in some cases, they predict things, especially The Simpsons, a cartoon. Well, we're going to share a cartoon with you in just one second, but it's not the cartoon you probably think. Let me go to screen share mode here. Yes, friends, India has landed on the moon. Well, sort of.
We want to take something to the moon. How much would that cost?
200.
200 million?
$200.
This rocket will fly to the moon?
Yeah, right.
To the moon?
Yeah.
People are applauding. Let us all wait to hear from the Secretary, Department of Space, and Chairman ISRO, Sri S. Somnath.
All right, so
you have to laugh, Sean, when you see these things. It's like you have to question, what are they doing? Are they doing it on purpose?
But the tension is palpable.
I said from the beginning that you have the globe defending trolls, if you will, paid or possessed, I'm not sure. And they will, I said, they're going to wait until we all declare this fake as fake can be. And they're going to say, what? Nobody ever said it was real. But they present it, they never say, this is an animation. It's clearly an animation. And they say, look how stupid those flat earthers are. Look how stupid those moon denying hoaxers are. They thought this was real. And then somebody new to the conversation comes in and goes, oh, yeah, man, that's not real. Those people are so stupid. And they don't even go any further saying, where's the proof? Where is the proof to land on the moon? Because that animation is all the proof that they had. And supposedly it's the data that they were getting in, the telemetry data that NASA lost, by the way, And so they had a cartoon representing the data. My question is, Jaron and I ask the same question all the time. What if it went sideways? What if it flipped over? What if it crashed? Do they have the animation for that? Are they ready? Were they ready for that? And the answer is,
Of course not.
But of course, you know, now that we say, of course not, they could quickly make an animation in probably 5 minutes. I mean, Jaron makes better animation than that. And
you're saying that they would have a drawing for every possible contingency. So if an alien attacked it from the side, then they would have that. Somebody drew that already just in case.
Yeah. Now that's totally South Park. Now you've just gone full bore South Park. It's a complete joke. I think it's all part of the humiliation ritual. They give us Senator Fetterman. They give us the Dog King, Joe Biden. And then they give us these. That's not even bad animation. That's worse animation cartoon drawing than South Park. In South Park, it's deliberately bad because Trey and Matt are really brilliant guys. So they can get away with the really bad animation because they're such great storytellers and they're so damn funny. This is just insulting what India just did.
Right. And it, you know, if you get down to it, they're not going to say it was meant to be real, but everybody took it as that's the proof. Where is the evidence? They could have literally written an article based on telemetry data telling us they landed on the moon. And that's more believable than the animation that they showed us.
And the animation is what everybody who's there is looking at. So it's not like it's just for the people at home or something. You've got all these engineers, I guess, scientists that are there lined up there watching the screen, and that's what's on the screen. So
yeah, and they're filming the screen. Did you see that? They're holding their phones up, filming the animation on the screen.
Yes,
it's amazing. And you know, and then other people say, well, that was the animation, but then did you see the footage of the lander? You know, when the rover went out. And I'll, let me just pull that up real quick. This is the footage of the rover going out. This is what they show us, Sean. This is the proof they went to the moon right here. Mm-hmm. I mean, why isn't the camera showing us, you know, a better angle? Well, it's in, you know, they can make up excuses, but this is all of the footage that there is. Okay. This could be filmed anywhere. I could film this in my backyard. And this is the best proof that they have that they went to the moon.
Well, at least that's the effort of making it look real. I mean, to an untrained eye or somebody who just drinks all the official Kool-Aid, they would say, oh, yeah, India made it. Well, I mean, there's the footage right there. At least it's not blatantly ridiculous animation.
Well, this is they use animation. They use models. They use CGI. They keep mixing it up so nobody can really figure out what they're doing. Did you hear that there was actually another? Well, first, I want to get to the Russia. Let me show you Russia. Russia crashed on the moon a week ago. Did you know that? A week before this.
Well, in China, I've got some video I'll play for you from China. They evidently have been very successful at this as well with more animation, which we'll show the audience in 1 minute.
Right. So Russia crashed on the moon and NASA released an alleged images. So they're not even saying photograph. They're not even saying real. They're saying alleged images, and images aren't photographs, right? NASA never uses the word photographs. And they show this, right? And the way they know that's the crash crater is because somehow they had a camera shot of the exact same thing before it happened and the exact same thing. Sean, let me ask you a question. If you were orbiting or you know, on a spinning Earth trying to film something in the sky, you think you can get the exact same shot twice in a row? Different times.
Yeah, right? Good point.
And so they're flipping it back and forth. And so this is the crater. Come on. We can do better. And we don't have $80 million a day budget.
Well, you guys aren't the only ones saying these things. I'll play a clip here from the Alex Jones Show. Stu Peters was a guest. Listen to this.
Yeah, look at this. I mean, here's the landing. It almost looks as bad as our moon landing, which, of course, we've lost the technology for. Look, we've lived under the empire of lies for decades. The purpose of this is to keep you, you know, inside of your virtual or digital pod before they put you into your physical pod, to keep you in your virtual or digital prison camp or your digital, you know, or virtual gulag before they throw you into the physical hard labor prisons that they have.
Yeah, look at this Indian footage. I mean, this is like a 1960s bad B movie.
I've seen better graphics on, you know, games of Pac-Man at the, you know, old Greasy Spoon Bar and Grill when I was 9 years old. I mean, this is, it's horrendous to think that these people believe that we are this stupid that we'll defend this. But yet there really is a portion of our population that is that stupid. If you go right now and you search Stu Peters and click on the news results, you'll see Rolling Stone and USA Today with big articles about how I knocked this Indian moon landing. Well, of course I did. And then they try to legitimize it by calling me names. Look, here's the deal. We mentioned the direct energy weapons, and whether it was lasers or microwaves, frequencies, we know that frequencies are extremely important. What's a recent phenomenon in our country and probably across the planet right now? Magnetized meat. You know, viral videos of people going into the supermarkets and sticking magnetic objects to meat. Your beef and your pork and your chicken is not supposed to be magnetic.
Yeah, your food should not be magnetic. I just wanted to play the clip because I like it that Alex and Stu went there regarding these moon missions. And again, what India showed there, it's just preposterous. It's just absolutely beyond the pale.
Stu is on the, you know, the head of the train on exposing space fakery, which ties right into Earth fakery. So, you know, I really appreciate what he's doing. His Twitter might be the best thing on the internet. If anybody wants to see uncensored, amazing stuff, check out Real Stu Peters on Twitter. One of the best channels. But this is the landing that you were just showing on Mars. This is supposedly, was it China landing on Mars, right? And people just, that's all the evidence they need is a simple South Park quality animation.
I didn't even realize that. That was supposed to be Mars? I thought that was a moon landing. I thought that was another China moon landing. Okay.
That was Mars. I think I'm 99% sure it's Mars.
Well, see,
but either way,
when all they show is animation as proof, then they can go anywhere in the universe. So right. Mars, Pluto, pick your poison.
Right. And I was going to say that there was another moon landing that they didn't publicize. Jaren, do you have the footage of that?
I might, yes. I wanted to show you one thing first, though, real quick, because I have this lined up for you. If I can get this to flip again. Hold on one second. All right. So what I want to show you is this, Sean. And I know this might not be easy for people to see what I'm showing, but if you kind of spend the time, you'll see. So this is the actual landing. You can see here, it's the official ISRO live telecast, the hour and 11 minutes. But if you start over here and start looking at the screen and what they're even claiming is going on, you know, they've got up here 1600 kilometers per second. I'm sorry, 1600 meters per second. So if we have to real quick get what that is. Meters per second, 1600 is 3579 miles per hour. Okay. So this little craft is coming in at 3579 miles per hour. And then quickly, if you look here, you can actually see the ground. So something moving 3579 miles per hour, taking photographs of the ground, and you're able to actually see craters and things. Also, you see here, it says 125.5 on the right. That's kilometers. So at 125 kilometers, we're talking 77 miles. So think about what that is. 77 miles in the sky, and you're able to see the ground just fine. And as you go through this film or is this a video, you'll notice that nothing changes from up there as far as the view. Let me get a little further. The view just keeps being the same thing. Basically, it's the same size craters. We're still at the same amount there. Let's go a little further. And you'll see that no matter how low we get, it's going to keep. Now we're at 1085, 2799, but look at the view. It's going to stay the same. Not as far as, you know, exactly the same, but I mean, it's not changing like you would expect. If you watch that video go by when it's going 1,085 meters per second, and then you watch it when it's going 4 meters per second, it's showing the same thing. Look at it now. Now it's down to 0.08, but it's still showing the same thing. Let me back up a little. There you go. Here. And if you go back a little bit, it doesn't even show it getting closer. I mean, it has to go from, what did I just say, 77 miles to landing. You'd be able to see that. You'd be able to watch it. This little screen here, and you'll just watch if I press play here, this thing's just going to keep dropping, but this screen doesn't really change. You'll watch it a little advance, like a little bit, see how the thing moved to here. Now, if you watch it, it'll take a second, and it'll move to here. Okay. So if I calculate how fast that's moving, wouldn't it be different at 3,500 miles per hour versus when it's going much slower? If you go here and you do the same thing, it's going to keep, get me back there. It's going to keep advancing the same amount. Doesn't matter that it's moving faster, slower, that it's getting lower. Like, it just keeps advancing one little screen. Now the next one, you know, it'll be here a little further. This one, it'll be come up here. It's just such garbage that anybody would ever believe this. It doesn't even make any sense realistically that this would be what would happen if you're going from 3,500 miles per hour and 77 miles in the sky to 0 miles per hour and 0 miles in the sky. And the screen doesn't change. It's like the same view. This view right here, it's just the same thing. Look at now we're down to point. Look at the horizontal velocity now. So we were going 3,500 miles per hour. Now we're going 0 miles per hour, yet the screen advances the same. Look at the little craters. If you watch the craters, they'll just advance. See? There. Now the next one. There. So it's just insane that anybody would believe this. And it's kind of embarrassing that all you need to do is put up this little graphic, which is terrible. Why don't we have a camera looking out? Like, how expensive are cameras now, Sean?
We ask that question every time you guys are on. How come we don't have a camera pointing back at Earth to give us a real-time feed if going to the moon is so easy? Of course.
But they act like this stuff is so expensive. Like, they, you know, NASA gets $80 million a day. Now, I know that's not India, but let's just talk about NASA. $80 million a day. And they can't afford cameras. They can't afford cameras to show stars. They always tell us, oh, there's no stars because of the exposure. Well, how come I can take my iPhone outside? I can point it at the brightest light on the street. And then I just turn my camera and point it at the sky and the camera adjusts and picks up the stars. An iPhone camera. So you're telling me NASA doesn't have the money to buy a camera that has autofocus that knows when to, you know, it's overexposed or whatever. It's just, at this point, it's really embarrassing that people have let them get this far. We should have ended this a long time ago. Because now they can get away with anything. And there's no secondary verification, right? Who's going to go up and verify that what NASA is saying is true? How are we going to do that? Who's going to go up? And they make it seem like it's so expensive, right? Everything in space is so expensive because only Jeff Bezos and only Elon Musk and only Richard Branson, they're the only ones who can go to space. You know, yesterday I was doing a debate, Sean, with this guy who's a big globe proponent. And he asked me what I thought of Virgin Galactic now that they're doing space travel. I'm like, hold on a second. Or space tourism. I'm like, look how embarrassing this is that it went from in 1970, you had Pan Am selling tickets to the moon. Okay, 1970. Then from there, they just started lying to people, telling them eventually there'll be hotels in space and there'll be hotels in orbit and we'll have these huge, I don't know, they're like outer space colonies or something. They keep showing all this stuff. And now we're at the point where what they're doing is they're taking people, putting them in a craft and throwing them up as high as they can in the sky and then calling that space travel. I mean, this is how ridiculous it's got. We've told people they'd be in hotels and they'd be in orbit and they could live it there and they'd go to a colony. And now we're at the point where this guy's asking me, well, what do you think about Virgin Galactic? I'm like, it's a reverse bungee jump. They throw people up in the sky as high as they can. Then the wings come out of that little plane and it floats down at a speed that allows the people to float inside. And people are calling that now space tourism.
It's the vomit comet. It's a zero G flight. You know, the Virgin Galactic, that takes off from below an airplane. The airplane gets it up to altitude, and it just shoots off on a parabolic curve, and they get, I don't know, maybe a minute of weightlessness, maybe a little bit more than a regular zero-G plane, but they never show you that full minute. They only show you 5 seconds at a time. Edit, 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 edit. I don't even believe it's all filmed in one jump like that. Maybe it was done in multiple planes. Maybe it's done on a zero-G plane. But they don't show you the full footage. And there's multiple cameras in there. We should have all of those feeds, but they never let us see them.
But they also won't let you take a camera on there. So supposedly.
Right.
I mean, this is why if you ask where's the people's footage, they don't allow cameras because it could get loose up there and could hit somebody in the head. You know.
Right. I honestly don't believe that anybody that's not in on it in some way or mind controlled in some way would ever get the opportunity. And, you know, and then people say, well, hey, you know what? You're going great. You know, this one YouTube guy, he supposedly went up there. So fake. But people say, you know, take this GoPro, take your iPhone. And so that's why they have the rule. No one can take a camera. That has to be the onboard cameras. And, you know, once you look at the footage, Sean, here's the problem. People, and I think I say this on every show, but I'm going to say it again. People are good people. People can't believe that there can be a lie this big. You know, well, millions of people would have to be on it. No, not that many people would have to be on it. You just have to be brainwashed from a young age to believe all of this stuff. You know, and then they throw in the why the lie. Why would they lie about space? Why would all the countries be doing this together? And, you know, and my conclusion is I don't know why the lie, but there's tons of evidence that it's all about controlling the human race and keeping us disconnected from our true power.
I don't disagree, but if you guys don't mind, let me just play devil's advocate for just 1 second, and I'll play the role of one of the critics listening to this conversation. And what that person might say is, oh, you dummies, what you're not understanding about that India cartoon is that that's just a proxy for the real thing happening in real time because we don't have cameras up there. We want to simulate what's really happening, much like radar controllers have little animations that look like airplanes on the radar, but it's not the actual plane, guys. It may as well just be a dot. It's just a proxy for the real thing. So if that's their argument, let's talk about the reality of trying to land a spacecraft on Mars in real time or on the moon in real time without video footage. They're saying this is all just being done with computers and just geniuses, like metaphysical geniuses. And we were just talking physics and mathematics. They don't need to see it to make it land. Just help me understand the critics.
Let's see them do that in the desert here at night on a nice weather day where they have a nice thick air pressure to work with. And the Earth, the atmosphere spinning with the Earth. They can't do it. They literally can't do it. So, they can make up excuses for everything. But here's the thing. No one's asking, where's the evidence? Where is the evidence of the landing other than the animation and the alleged telemetry data?
Sean, this is how bad stuff. I've started thinking about some elements of space travel and space that I think are strange. And one of those is that I let pass me for this whole entire 7 years, 8 years, is we know what happens when I put up a helium balloon, right? If I let a helium balloon go up in the sky, it expands, the gas inside expands. And then when there's no more pressure from the outside, then it bursts open and all the gas goes everywhere into space, right? So at what point does the gas do the opposite of that, which would be required if we have gas stars and gas planets that they say are held together by gravity? So why doesn't the balloon that goes up there, shouldn't the gas be pulling into the center of it? But no, the gas desperately tries to get out and it bursts the balloon and flies out into space, which is what would happen if I put up a bigger balloon or a bigger balloon. Like, they would have me to believe that if I put up a big enough balloon, that gas starts doing the opposite of what we see every day. Now, if you have any detractors, anybody listening to this, like, oh, that's ridiculous, then tell them to show me one time that gas has ever attracted another gas or pulled to the center. And it doesn't even exist. And yet we all believe that's what's going on with the suns and that's what's going on with planets, is the opposite of what everyday experience and tests and observations tell us. Gas expands in space. It goes in every direction. It never says, ooh, I'm the center. Come to me. I'm Jupiter. It doesn't do that. So they just have us believing things that aren't even experimentally valid, that have never been shown, duplicated. Having an atmosphere next to the Earth is impossible. Having a vacuum next to the Earth, we have gas pressure here. The gas would dissipate into space. That's what a vacuum does.
We have a molten magnetic core. When you can't have a molten magnet, when a magnet heats up before it melts, it reaches what's called the Curie point. It loses its magnetism. And then what was the other thing? Said the air something else, but it'll come to me in a second. This is the Seagate, the Titanic submarine. And out of nowhere, all of the top engineers of the world are giving you their full analysis of what happened here. Okay, again, this is a whole nother ridiculous thing. But compare that to this from 50 years ago, zero. And no structural engineers have said a peep about this. So the question is, who were those engineers that went all over the Seagate? And how come they're not talking about this?
And I'm looking here at this. Just want to show you this. I thought was funny. We were talking about Jeff Bezos and those guys. So this is the Wally Funk. I don't know if you know who she is. She was one of the first people to go up there. And her big complaint now is that when she was up there, she didn't see the curvature of the Earth. So how do you go 60 miles and not see the curvature of the Earth if we're told people see it in a plane? People saw it, from the Red Bull jump, 128,000 feet. This girl went supposedly 61 miles and said here, criticized by fellow astronaut Wally Funk, who said the capsule didn't go high enough. And it says here that she couldn't see the curvature of the Earth. Where did I see it? Anyway, I'll find it for you here in a second. Oh, maybe this one. I thought I was going to see the world, but we weren't up quite high enough. So who knows what they're doing, if they're really sending people up. So it went to 350,000 feet. So again, the craziness of this thing. It's like a big joke. Somebody's laughing at this constantly.
When we send balloons up, they go to about 120,000 feet where they max out. And at that height, it kind of looks like the sun is almost, it feels like the sun is almost at that height. But sometimes they'll send a rocket up, like the Go Fast rocket. I think I've shown that on here. And that went up supposedly 72 miles and it kind of hit something, went into like a plasma or something. And we think that's the highest you can get. But then recently, there's another video emerged of a rocket that went up to 300,000 feet. And everyone's like, oh my God, this is the killer one. But if you watch the rocket, the engine burns out at around 100,000 feet and it glides another 200,000 feet, and it actually accelerates because the amount of time it went from 0 to 100,000 feet, it got to 300,000+ feet in a quarter of that time. And looking down at the Earth, nothing on the Earth changed. Just like what Jaron was showing you on the moon, you know, the size and of all the land features stayed the same for another 200,000 feet. Okay, so that's not suggesting that it's fake. That is proving beyond a doubt that it's fake. And you know, and then people don't want to face this reality for some reason because it's uncomfortable. But once you face it, Sean, and understand that, you know, this whole reality that they're teaching us is a lie and that we have the power, not them, right? That's something you pushed on your channel all the time. You know, we have the power. We are the many. They are the few. They don't want us to know that. They don't want us to know that we have the upper hand. And keeping us lost in space, spinning out of control, believing a whole bunch of nonsense is how they do it, how they keep control over us.
Well, I think what puzzles all of us, too, as it pertains to the normies or the NPCs, the people who don't think and don't want to think about any of this and would just rather cast aspersions and call you guys crazy for not believing that we're on a spinning ball. What puzzles us is the fact that if you just look at the history of officialdom, just in our lifetimes, guys, they've lied to us about the JFK assassination. They have lied to us about the RFK assassination. They have lied to us about what really happened on 9/11. They have lied to us at every turn. They lie to us about the Big Bang and indoctrinate our kids in the public schools of non-learning and expect kids to believe in something that can't be proven that they call the Big Bang and expect the children to believe that beauty and order came out of chaos. That's not possible. I talk to scientists, I've had them on the show, and authors. It's not possible to create a 747 out of a tornado in a junkyard. You see what I'm saying? James Perloff, credit to James Perloff for that one. Tornado in a junkyard. But that's what children are expected to believe.
Right. And, you know, John, I don't know, did I, Jaron, you go in 1 second. Did I bring up these articles by NASA? NASA, every other day, they have a new one. This is an asteroid just missed Earth the size of 20 bozai dogs. Another one, the size of 22 tuna fish, right? 6 Darth Vader.
What is that about, Dave?
48 eggplants. These are NASA articles. 90 elephants. That's a big one. If that one hit us, we'd be in big trouble. All right? You know, 787 matzahs, and that one passed over on Passover. Okay? This is what they're feeding us in mainstream science, okay? And people are like, well, are you a science denier? No, I'm a pseudoscience denier. And this is all nonsense. This goes on and on. I can keep going. 69 American alligators. Thank God they weren't African alligators because that would have been bad. 18 platypus, right? 18 walruses, 20 bald eagles.
See, they're just mocking us because the normies and the NPCs are so stupid. They don't pay attention to anything. So when nobody's really paying attention and holding these people accountable, they can literally get away with these satirical articles that I guess are to be believed, right? We're supposed to believe that they're out of good metaphors. So now the metaphors are 18 alligators and 38 platypus. And come on.
Listen, if it was on mainstream news that an asteroid the size of 100 hot dogs was going to hit us, would you even be worried?
You know who'd be excited? Barack Obama. He loves the hot dogs.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
$60,000 for hot dogs to be brought in from Chicago.
You know what that's about. That's a whole nother story.
Big Mike's a big fan, too.
So. Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys this, then. Give us a prediction for the future as NASA continues to just back itself into a corner with these promises of putting men on the moon. This time with a trip around the moon in 2024 with actual astronauts on board, what are your predictions for this? Are they just going to bump it, delay it, or are they going to just try to show us more animation and claim they did it?
Go ahead, Jaron.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me. I mean, I think that they can't fake it. So I think that they're going to have something happen, be it maybe an accident on the ISS or some way that they can say, we can't do people explorations anymore because it's too dangerous. So we're just going to stick to robots. And then they can basically do the same thing like they did with this moon landing, right? It's enough that people will be okay with it. Because we saw, I think I've showed you before, Dave, if you go to Kickstarter, which is a site where people do all these Kickstarts, and if you put in anything space related, every single one of them is a scam. And none of them even get like reported. Nobody ever gets in trouble because people are so in love with space that they'll go to this site, they'll give $20 or whatever to get their satellite connection to their house where they can look at the Earth from the space. And then when it never comes to fruition, the person just takes off with all the money, that you don't even see anybody complaining. It's just because it's like, well, it's space travel and people are willing to do anything for space travel, even if it's lose money, promote scams. We've seen these channels just show up on YouTube that do the same thing. They just post and repeat space propaganda and you'll get paid for it. If anybody out in the audience is looking for something to do to get money, I'm telling you, you can easily make a living just repeating space propaganda, reading from NASA's website on YouTube. You'll do pretty well.
Yeah, YouTube will promote that stuff. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I was just going to say that, in the time that we have left, maybe we should talk about some of the proofs, things that you guys think are smoking guns. Like I always say that the smoking gun of them faking the moon missions, the Apollo missions, is the lunar rover. It's preposterous. That thing cannot fit up into that crappy, we've talked about this before, it's like a child's school project made out of like curtain rods and tinfoil. How does the lunar rover fold up neatly into the lunar lander? Well, NASA doesn't know because they lost the blueprints.
This is the lunar rover. Look at this. This is an umbrella and these are beach chairs. Okay. Look at that. If you actually get a good picture and zoom in, that's exactly what they are, right? Yeah. $38 million. $37 million. You could save $1 million and have this, okay, instead of this, right?
They put Jeep frame next to it because that is a Jeep frame.
It is a Jeep frame, right?
Which is about $500. So then the lawn chairs must have cost $37,995,000 or something.
Well, umbrella too, the umbrella that's true. Supposed to be a satellite or whatever that is, well, that was probably very expensive.
Well, it's driving around, it drives gold. Around, it drives million? Around and transmits back to Houston from the umbrella.
Of course it does.
In 1969.
Well, actually what I was driving at, and I was just using the lunar rover as an example of a smoking gun, is for those who don't know, I call myself a globe as we're told skeptic regarding all of this, because it's the official math that's forced down our throat that doesn't add up. It's their math. It's the Copernicus math. Okay. It's not my math. It's not Jaron's math. It's not Dave's math. So if we don't see curvature that should be in the case of the Suez Canal, a 100-mile man-made hole in the earth. I guess what I'm trying to ask you guys is, what are some of the smoking guns that make you believe that things aren't exactly what we're being told? And certainly that 24,901 mile math doesn't stand up to scrutiny.
Yeah, there's so many things now. It's not about belief. We know the earth isn't a globe. It's scientifically provably it's not a globe. And if the earth is not flat, then it's got to be a globe. It would have to be thousands and thousands of times bigger than they tell us the Earth is. That creates a problem. Okay, so this is all about control, and it's not that hard to hide. You were just saying that there'd be curvature, and everyone that's programmed is going to say, if you were an amoeba on a basketball, you're going to see a flat surface, right? But they want you to believe that you can see ships go over the horizon, but it's also too big to see curvature from any altitude. Because as we go up higher and higher, you can see farther and farther, the horizon should drop. Neil deGrasse Tyson just pushed the globe post back again, said you can't see it at 100,000 feet, okay? And, people used to say that you can see it from an airplane, and the thing is, you can't. So, go ahead, Jaron, and we can go back and forth on a couple quick proofs. There's some new ones that I really like.
Yeah, there's some new ones. One of them, Sean, is that in the north here, I'm sure you live, where do you live? Or what?
I'm in the Midwest. We're up in Minnesota here.
Okay, so you know how it is. When it's summer and the sun sets, you get an extended period of light, right? Where, say, the sun sets at 8 and then it doesn't get dark till 9, right? Yep. Because it sets and we get that little lingering light. And then in the winter, when the sun sets, it gets darker faster, meaning that the sun sets and then we only have maybe 40 minutes of light till it gets dark. So that if the Earth were the globe that we're taught, then the opposite should be true in the south, meaning that at their summer, which would be opposite of ours, but the same thing should happen. They should have longer days, and in winter they should have longer light after the sunset, and in the winter they should have shorter. But it's actually, we're finding out the opposite, which is probably one of the biggest evidences that I've seen so far, because really we should have been looking there. We should have been looking at what is different about both models that is glaringly different. And one of those is the southern hemisphere, or if you want to call it that, or hemisplane, is much different in the flat Earth model than it is in the globe Earth model. And that's somewhere where we would be able to determine that, right? And the reason for that is because it's an outer ring that's kind of larger. So the sun has to move faster, which is what causes it during their summer. Since the sun is moving faster, then it sets quicker, meaning that the sun takes off, the light you know, we see the sunset and then it gets dark within 40 minutes in the summer. And then in the winter for them, it actually is about an hour and 15 minutes that they get light after that. So these are kind of the huge things that I've never heard anybody bring up. I don't even think anybody looks into those kind of things. They don't even pay attention. So if we can show that, and we have somebody down there filming right now every day, and he's already proven it to me, because what he's doing is every day right now is it's getting close to their summer. It's getting close to December for them, or getting close to their solstice. He's actually having the time reduced every day. So, you know, he started out doing it a couple, you know, a month ago, and he was getting an hour of time after the sunset. Now he's down to like 50 or 45 minutes. So as we get closer to December, that number is going to keep dropping. And that's the opposite than it is here in the north. If you, there's no reason it should be opposite.
If you look on my model here, the sun is the hour hand, and I have it set for December. So December, it has to go around the Tropic of Capricorn. And the Tropic of Capricorn, I don't know, is it 60,000 miles, Jaron? 50,000 miles?
Something, oh, no, that's something. Too much. It's like 30.
Too much? 34,000 miles, right? The equator is 24,000 miles. And then coming into the Tropic of Cancer, it's 18,000, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So if it has to go 18,000 miles in 24 hours, it's going much slower. But when it's out here, it's going much farther. So that's why during their summer, it gets dark really fast after the sun sets due to perspective, right? And you know, a lot of for the listeners that haven't tuned out yet, that already have unsubscribed to Sean, if you haven't looked into this, you have to take the time to look into it, because you're like, well, how does the sun set on a flat Earth? There's tons of information. And here's the problem. You Google it, you're not going to get anything. And I want to touch on the thing that Jaron discovered recently. Yeah, the history thing.
Yeah.
So I'll explain it and then you can pull it up.
Okay.
On YouTube, when you watch videos, you can go check your YouTube history and you can go back and find out all the stuff you've watched over for forever, I guess. And you can also search, you know what? Hey, I was looking up curling bodybuilding exercises a while ago. So I could type in bodybuilding curling and boom, it'll show me all the stuff in my history that has that words in it or are tagged that way. You can go watch a bunch of videos. So Jaron's going to do it right now. He's going to go. He's on my channel, DITRH, which stands for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. I appreciate a couple more subs. I'm at literally 99,900 forever. I just need to get 100 more subs. He'll watch a bunch of videos. And then when he searches Flat Earth, none of them come up. And worse than that, they stick all the propaganda videos into your history that you never watched.
So watch, I just picked four random videos from Dave's channel that say Flat Earth in them. And then if we go to our history here, okay, so now we go to history, and then you'll notice that those four videos are the first four here. And if I go to search watch history, now I'm going to put in Flat Earth, which those should all be there because clearly they have it in their title. But you'll see what happens is they're going to erase those videos and they're going to replace them with nothing but hit piece videos. These are all debunk videos. Not one of these is a Flat Earth video. They're all debunking Flat Earth.
So, and you didn't watch those videos?
Well, I'm not sure about that. They might be something I watched
from a long time ago. Right. From a long time ago. Right.
Correct. Yeah, it even says the date here. Here's December 1st, 2022. I watched this one, October 5th. You know.
Okay, all right.
But it's still weird that they take out all the actual Flat Earth videos. They're just gone from my search history.
Somehow they're all tagged. You know, like my channel's tagged or just AI tagging anything that's pro Flat Earth, and they hide it. So when you Google Flat Earth and you're looking for a specific video, it's going to feed you the same propaganda videos every time, no matter what you search.
And so we've tried some other things like 9/11, and so far I haven't found any other term that does the same thing.
Yeah, so there's far. No, that's the only one that behaves that way. Isn't that strange?
So to me, I think that that's hugely important. There's no way that we're supposed to believe that, you know, YouTube wants to protect us and they want to keep misinformation out of it. I mean, it's just ridiculous thought. There's so much misinformation on YouTube that just stays up there. Nobody cares. You know, people telling people to put their iPhones in the microwave to make it charge and, you know, just things that are actually hurting people. And yet they have to go out of their way to make sure that we are removed. And I mean, look at me, Sean, I had 150,000 subs 4 years ago, and now I'm at 160. So, and you know, it basically took me 3 years to get to 150, and then the 3 years since then has barely gone up 10,000. It's because we aren't recommended, we aren't an Up Next, we aren't shareable, we obviously aren't searchable. You're not able to find our stuff in your watch history. That's insanity. It's just insane that this is the way they feel like going after this. And I'm somebody who says science better get out in front of this. They think, or what they say, is that they don't want to give Flat Earth any, you know, credence. So this is why they don't discuss it. This is why they don't debunk it. But I mean, that's a ridiculous statement because Flat Earth is growing. So if science really wanted to take care of it, nip it in the bud, then what they would do is they would come out with some sort of Fox special or something with Neil deGrasse that proves the curvature of the Earth, because their claim of, oh, we don't want to give it any credence is so ridiculous. Yeah, you don't want to give it any credence, but you want to debunk it. So don't give it credence. Come on the air and debunk it. Then no, you didn't give it any credence. You absolutely debunked it. You made it look silly. But they can't even do that. So they just hide in the corners and be quiet.
Let me show you guys something. I think it's interesting, too, because Google is no longer a tool that anybody can use to find truth. We all know that. But I typed in, I'm going off memory here. Isn't the guy's name Jay Tolan, something like that? He does the infrared photography, which if you guys have any of that, you could call up. I think to me, that is the type of evidence I'm looking for. We're able to see much longer distances and scout out buildings and mountain peaks that ought not be able to be seen if the 24,901 mile math is correct because of, you guys know the math. I mean, how much, for instance, in the Suez Canal, there should be more than 2 miles of Earth curvature hiding. We can't see it. So you go to Google and you type in Jay Tolan Media. I want to call stuff up. I can't find it because Google sucks. The first return is the Flat Earth conspiracy is spreading around the globe. Then down here, oh, Jay Tolan Media, Flat Earth lunacy, Flat Earth advocate fail. Right. So they immediately want to prevent discourse about this topic when you search it on Google. So, but any, there it is. Okay. There's a Jay Tolan infrared photograph right behind Dave.
Yeah.
From Malibu, from where this was taken, using globe math, using their worst, most in favor of the globe calculator, the very, very tip of this mountain should be the only thing showing. And guess what? Without infrared, all you see is blue sky here. You can't see this, but the infrared takes out the glare and you're able to see the mountain. This mountain should be behind a curve. Now, does that mean the Earth is flat? Either it's flat or it's 1,000 times bigger than they tell us. And if we do the math backwards, the numbers come out so ridiculous, like how big it would have to be. Because no matter how big it is, there still would be curvature over distance.
Well, let's talk about, too, what their excuse is that these, you know, things are being loomed or refracted up, which is the most ridiculous claim that they just get away with saying. I mean, they're actually saying that because of the way light works, that mountain that's behind the curve there has been lifted up and placed right at the horizon for you. And the fact that anybody would believe that is pretty insane. Pretty insane. Yep. So Dave, can you show Canagu real quick? Cause I think it shows people better what you mean by you can't see it.
Right.
So, because sometimes people don't recognize it. If you're looking off to your east or west, or especially for me, if I look east where I'm in, you know, the foothills of California here, usually I can see the Rocky Mountains, but sometimes I can't. When I can't see them, it's just sky there. So if I was the first time I ever lived here or something and I looked around, I could assume that that is the edge of the Earth, the horizon that I see, even though it clearly isn't. There's clearly mountains there. I can see them much better in the winter.
Yeah. So real quick, before I show Canada, let me just show this. This is just a scene that everybody's seen. You have this very clear trees here. Then they're kind of just dark here and get lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter, lighter. There's more mountains here. You just can't see it. It becomes sky over distance. Right. And so
when people say, like, look at that picture, and then people say, why can't I see the Eiffel Tower from, you know, New Jersey? Well, because that you can't see even 200 miles. You know, it's hard to see that from the ground level or from not very high. So, you know, can you see 500 miles in rare occasions? Can you see 1,000? Super rare occasions. But to think you could be able to see across the Atlantic Ocean is a joke.
So real quick, here's a spot in Alluja, France, looking out. Mount Canagu is 175 miles away, and we can't see it because they say it's because it's over the curve. But the light from the sun that's bouncing off of Mount Canagu isn't strong enough to push back to your eyes. However, the sun's light is brighter than its reflected light off a mountain, of course. And as the sun moves away, it's only twice a year. The sun migrates between the tropics, and only twice a year is it in line with Mount Canagu and the observer. And when it does, it backlights the mountain, and all of a sudden you can see it. The very top of the highest point right there should be over a half a mile below the curve. Yeah, but it's still there. And the globe proponents say, well, actually, the sun already did set and the mountain is over. It's just looming up and stopping perfectly at eye level to trick you. That's the globe story.
And they'll tell you that, oh, we've written a ton of papers about it, that this refraction is well known and can be calculated if we know. It's like, look at, that's the real mountain. Look at it. What would John Goodman say? Not John Goodman. What was the guy's name? Goodman, who was on our show, Dave? Forgot his name. Jason Goodman. Jason Goodman said that is a shadow being projected up from behind the curve, that the sun is behind the curve and is somehow pushing the shadow up on the sky. It's like, dude, watch the mountains. They stay right there. They don't move.
And is Jason Goodman kind of the interviewer guy who's sort of a truthy dude who like, and yes. So he came on and he wanted to defend globe Earth in like debate. Okay.
Oh yeah. He did a debate. I want to
set up for Jason Goodman. He does good work. He just doesn't, he doesn't see the globe yet. He doesn't see the globe lie. He's not a deceiver. He's doing the best that he can. So he just doesn't see it and won't take the time to look. A lot of people just stuck in their ideas, will not take in new information, and that's fine. As long as he doesn't bring it up, then I don't have to go after him. But here's the thing. At ground level, at sea level, the air is the thickest. But when you go up high on a mountain, the air is thinner and clearer, and you can see farther. We have a whole bunch of mountaintops right here that are 700 miles away, 8 of them, okay? According from that altitude, those mountains, the tops of those mountains, should be over 40 miles below the curve. 40 miles. Okay, below the curve, but we can see all of them. The shapes and their positions are all correct. What's the excuse? And mainstream science, they won't touch it. 40 miles. People don't understand what that actually means. 40 miles of curvature, and it's hard for people to even conceive what that means.
Well, and the point that I've always made, and I know it sounds kind of stupid to those who have, you know, fully believed the globe Kool-Aid, but if the world were a sphere, if we lived on a basketball, then we would all at this point, look, I've been on the planet for 50 plus years. We would all have the experience of going in a downward direction, regardless if you're moving north, south, east, or west. Yeah. Because to complete the globe, you're always having to point down, nose down, on an airliner, in a car, on a family trip across America. Where do we have that experience? I've never had the experience of having to nose down or like I'm going over a hill ever in my life. But that should be the norm if we live on a planet the size of what they say this one is.
I'm glad you brought that one up. But let me bring this up. This is a balloon at about 120,000 feet, about 20 miles up. Okay, so that's pretty darn high. This is higher, you know, your planes fly at 30,000 feet, 120,000 feet. Okay, that's 20 miles. So Kansas and Florida are about 400 miles across. According to Globe Math, from one end of Kansas to the other, or one end of Florida to the other, there should be 20 miles of curvature. Okay? You can't even fathom what that is.
I remember I did a video back when I very first started, Dave, where I was laughing at the distance between the west coast, east coast of the United States and like Spain. And I was like, there's 2,500 miles there, but I didn't know you square the 8 inches. So I did 8 inches time. And I said, there's supposed to be 2 miles of curvature. Can you imagine 2 miles of curvature between the two continents when really there's 250 miles of curvature. I'm sorry, 70 miles of curvature. Is it 700? It's 700 miles of curvature. So if you're talking about from California to Hawaii, 2,500 miles, 700 miles of curve, 700 miles of drop.
So here's a plane flying. There's over 500 miles of curvature between Cali to Cleveland, right? 500 miles of missing curvature. It's just flying straight and level. Airplanes fly straight and level over an Earth plane. So here's another one that we're getting lots of video on. This is the pilot that filmed the night flight from, I think, Berlin to South America, to Brazil, somewhere, over 4,000 miles. So, Sean, if you're on an airplane, and so while he's going, these stars should process up like this Google Earth model says. Google Earth says that this is a simulation of Google Earth. As you fly over, the stars in front of you should end up moving up over your head. But reality, when we watch this, they don't. And so the globe components quickly came out and said, well, that's because you're spinning with the Earth and the stars are staying the same. Well, if that was true, you'd have to be matching the speed of the Earth. But also in the other direction, which has been filmed, the stars would be precessing twice as fast. And in both directions, the stars really just stay there. The ones over your head move a little bit, but the ones in the distance, they kind of just stay there because they're so far away that you're not getting close enough for them to rise. But they should all be rising as you're diving over the ball, right?
You know how it's sort of become chic to ask pilots when you're deboarding what believe the nature of the Earth to be? I swear I've seen some videos of some real honest pilots say it's flat.
Absolutely. Garen, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's just more and more coming out. I think Dave was talking about this one, though. Dave, is this the one, the landing you're talking about? Which was nice. It was almost equally as... impressive.
Yeah. This is the landing from I'm not sure which country. I think it was the Jaronism Republic.
Sorry, I did a transition.
Data has to come to Van Allen radiation belt.
It's very impressive. Look at that thing. Oh, it's moving backwards. Now it's coming down. That's weird. It doesn't work like I thought it would.
All right. Well, just showing you that Jaron doesn't have $80 million a day. I think if you gave him $800, he could do a amazing, amazing video. But
sure.
The pilot, if you go to on my app, if you go to the frequently asked questions and go to the are all pilots in on it button, which is where is the button? Are all space agencies? Where's all pilots? We have a new video out. It's a 3-hour video, 27 different pilots talking about how the Earth is flat and stationary. It's amazing.
Who's making that one?
That was out. It's out already. Flat Earth Banjo made it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good old Eddie.
Yep.
Well, do you want to take us through the app and show us an entertaining video or two, Dave, before we part ways? And Jaron, you should plug your channel as well, too. I'm glad you're still alive and kicking over there on YouTube.
Barely.
Yeah. Barely.
One of my favorites is on the More Resources page. If you scroll down to, since we're talking about the moon, you go to the moon nonsense section. Here is the top movie. There is one that Jaron made a few years ago called NASA Going Nowhere Since 1959 or
58.
And basically, he shows how each administration just keeps kicking the can down the road. We're going to have hotels in space. Well, not yet. You know, we're going to have civilians in space. Well, you know, the Challenger happened. We're going to go to the moon. We're going to go to Mars. We're going to go to the moon. We're going to go to Mars. They just keep switching it back and forth. This is an amazing, amazing film that he made. That's when NASA only got $56 million a day, but now they get $80 million a day. So that's ton. When you say show a video, there's so many videos. If you go there, these are just videos that are hidden from you on YouTube. And, you know, if you watch these videos, again, don't believe a video. Look at the video, look at the data, and then analyze it yourself. Go out and do the experiments yourself. But you won't find any of these videos on YouTube, okay? A little bigger. They're all there. They're all hidden. And if you go to, the frequently asked questions page, here we go. And if I go to, like, seasons, for example, do you want to learn about seasons? Here are stuff about seasons, right? If he's like, well, seasons prove the globe. Actually, seasons prove the flat Earth. All of these videos are hidden. It's called the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app. You can find all my stuff at flatearthdave.com. And it's the way to beat the algorithm.
That's the thing, because you got everybody who can't search. If they go to YouTube and search anything, they're just going to get the propaganda. So if you can introduce them to this app, show them the featured videos, and then say, here's how you click and go back and look at the archives. And Dave's got 3 years worth of archives, a video for every single day. And so that's where you find all the good information. And then what you can do is have them after 2 weeks or something say, now go search some of those videos that you saw, go search for them on YouTube. And when they go there, they won't be able to find them. And then that will make them say, well, wait a second, I thought they were on YouTube that I was watching. And we could say they are, they were, but they've hidden them from you. It's only because Dave has this app that you're still able to find some of this good stuff.
And we also have, this is called the homeschool section. Our good friend Crow is on here. I tell people, if you're thinking of sending your kids to college, do not send them to Crow University. It's only $8 a month. And I don't think you need financing for that. There's so much stuff. We have our guy, Austin Witsit, who's probably one of the smartest guys out there.
I don't want to talk to Austin.
Oh, sorry.
That was a good one. He breaks down the topics, each topic in a full length. Like if you want to dive deep into a topic, great stuff there. false history. We got my this guy's called My Lunch Break. He just breaks down. He looks at old buildings and finds the history on these buildings and show you how ridiculous that they are. That these are old world buildings, that they don't want you to know your true history. What do you mean old world? There was a civilization, whatever you want to call it, here before that our history doesn't talk about. Okay. And it's provable in every city, in every town, there's information, all sorts of stuff. But, you know, when people say flat earth, you know, there's no flat earthers out there, that's ridiculous. If we look, this is called the Friend Finder. And it's actually getting a big upgrade in hopefully next week. I keep saying that. But these are the people, Sean. Look at the country. It's becoming a huge blue dot. Okay. These are the people that just have my app that have the Friend Finder activated. And, you know, flat earthers, we want to associate with other awake and aware people. And this app allows you to contact them. You can go into chat groups with them. You can make video calls. You can message each other. And it's really connecting people. You'll be able to search, you know, for people like, hey, I want to move to Florida. I go to Florida and say real estate brokers, and it'll show me all of the awake, aware people that are real estate brokers in Florida. And now I can, you know, talk to a like-minded person. And I'm sure it's just super, super helpful that way. What else are they going to say about it? It's a lot of fun. The app is $3. One-time charge. You get everything except if you want to send messages to people and use the profile section, you have to pay a subscription, which is $11 a year, okay? $11 a year. You don't have to get the subscription. Appreciate it if you do. But $11 a year gives you full access to the app. So I don't think it's asking a lot. But again, if you're unsure, just get the app. And what I tell people is I offer 3 Bitcoins. Watch the featured video each day for 2 weeks. At the end of that 2 weeks, if you can come up with one globe proof, you win 3 Bitcoins, okay? And the problem is the Earth is not a globe, so don't get your hopes up.
So nobody's won the Bitcoin yet, huh?
Well, it's not even that. You know, I feel it's like, for me, I know how dumb the bet is because I know the Earth isn't a globe. But it's, you know, unfortunately in this world, people are motivated by money. So, hey, let's keep it interesting. If I don't do that, a lot of people, they're not going to give it more than 10 seconds of thought because they have what I call the Twitter mentality, you know, 122 characters or whatever it is. And then they short circuit. But hey, I win 3 Bitcoins. I'm going to go and prove the globe. And then they'll start doing some research and they'll start watching the featured video and then the archive videos. And if you do that, you can't lose. Right. And if you don't, you know, if you don't want to just go video to video, I say hit the web button right here. And you scroll down to Flat Earth Movies right here. And there's a whole bunch of videos, including the Hibbler level with me and the next level. You can't watch 3 videos in that list and not realize you don't live on a globe. It's scientifically impossible. So with all of the craziness in the world going on, Sean, why is Dave Weiss and Jaron focusing on this? Because this is the foundation of the lie. This is the one that gets you, that separates you from the creator, or tries to at least, and it makes you insignificant, and it puts you on a world that's running out of resources, running out of land, it's overpopulated, you get hit by a nuclear bomb and an asteroid, and all of this fake propaganda, right? I just watched it was actually a TikTok that said if every person had, a certain amount if every person in the world sat next to each other, they would fit on this little tiny dot in a little small state. It was like if everyone just sat next to each other. And, you know, and I say, I think it's that every family had an acre in Australia, half of Australia would be empty, and so would the rest of the world. And so the whole idea of that the world is overpopulated and we can't sustain it, that is baloney. That is ridiculous. The amount of farmland that you would need to sustain the entire Earth is minuscule compared to the amount of available farmland. Right. So all of this stuff is just some psychopaths that want to keep control of the world. And they realize that, you know, if too many people are here, that we will start challenging their alleged, you know, perceived power. And if you're spinning out of control, lost in space and don't know where you are, you're never going to reach that full potential. Right. And so that's why we do this. That's why we harp on this, because this, you know, Sean, I woke people up to the New York event, the Connecticut Sandy place, and the Boston event, and they go right back to sleep. They go right back to sleep. I figured, wow, you see that? You're going to wake up. They just go right back to sleep because you can make excuses. Well, you know, the administrator. Yeah. But when you understand that the whole foundation of your world is a lie, you can never get it out of your head. You can never stop. And that's why I'll finish up. Yeah. That's why, Sean, I appreciate your courage coming out early in the game. People like Stu Peters, Peggy Hall, they're coming out. There's a lot of the doctors that, that are the freedom, you know, doctors that are speaking out against the COVID thing. They're all flat earthers and they just haven't come out publicly yet. So all of them, if you were wondering which ones, all of them, right? And I will be speaking at Anarchapulco this year with several of them. So it's going to be quite an amazing year for flat earth. Go ahead, Jaron.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you have children, I don't know how it doesn't, you know, concern you what world you're going to leave them, because clearly our rights have been taken in the last 2-3 years to the point where they're just going to keep doing that. And as long as nobody ever fights back, your children are going to be actual slaves if we don't do something. So, you know, like the idea of nation states goes away if there's more land. This is why I think that they've wrapped it all into a globe, because in the past, when people were being held down by tyranny, like say the people that came over and started this country, they just left, right? They didn't like the way the king was acting. So they just got in a boat and came over here. Well, that's probably always been the answer to tyranny in human history. But at some point they just said, okay, well, how do we get people to stop getting up and leaving when they don't like being our slaves? Oh, we know what we'll do. We'll wrap the earth as a ball and say everything's been discovered, but they've been everywhere. So now you've got people who just sit at home and accept their enslavement. Whereas imagine if we found out that there's more continents, that there's more land, that you could just go. All of a sudden, everything that's been happening, all these control freaks would lose their minds, because this is all that they know, is how to control people, steal money from people, pretend that they're real virtuous and everything when they're not. So anyway, that's why I think it is the biggest thing. There is no other conspiracy that opens it all up. Because once you doubt this, I mean, none of us got the jab, right? None of us, we're all smart enough now that when this second round comes, I mean, we are going to be the head of the snake that's saying, absolutely not. You know, what are you doing? Now, again, if the same amount of people fall for it as last time, it starts to get weary on you. Like, what are we going to do here? So I just wanted to show you my website real quick. If you want to find me, it's jaronism.com, or it's got a bunch of just little places where it'll take you to my YouTube, Globusters, things like that. Odyssey, if you want to find some of my old videos. And then also I've got, I think we talked about this before, but we've got trueearther.com, which is where we have our 3-time-a-year summit. And the next one's not until November, but November 11th and 12th, we have Mount Meru round 2. But if anybody wants to come and watch Mount Meru summit day 1 and 2 from last year, that's free. So you just go to trueearther.com, sign up. It's all free. And then, for instance, we had like Owen Benjamin was the comedian to end day 2. So you could go down here, just click that, and you'll be able to watch Owen in no time. There you go.
The big bear himself.
So very easy to navigate the site. You're able to watch all these people. We had, who did we have these today? Peggy Hall gave a presentation, Taboo Conspiracy. Here's High Impact Flicks, Austin Witsit, Conspiracy Music Guru, David and Caleb did a presentation. So anyway, it's a 2-day event. The next one is Mount Meru version 2, or the second one, that'll be November 11th and 12th. And again, you'll be able to just come here and attend. This is day 1. So we had Amanda Vollmer presented, Marty Leeds, Dave Murphy. Speaking of those people, on October 21st and 22nd this year is Flattoberfest in Las Vegas. So I know Dave will be there. By the way, we have Greg Reese going to present, myself, Austin Witsit, Mark Devlin, Dave Murphy, a couple other people unannounced still. So that's awesome. And I believe that was it. So yeah, check out my website if you want to find me, or Jaronism on YouTube, or Flat Earth Dave for all the Flat Earth needs that you'll ever have.
Very cool.
Flatearth.com to find me, to find my channels, to find, you know, I have my interviews channel, my DITR channel, everything's linked there. If you have a show or know of a show that can go on, contact Flat Earth Dave. Just go there and say, you know, book Dave on a show. Click that link. Everybody working together can free us from this insanity. We are literally in a prison for your mind, which I've been showing right here. So, you know, once we break free of this prison, I think there's unimaginable freedom coming, but people have to wake up and just say no to, you know, the small minuscule few that are trying to control us. And I think we have the upper hand. It's just, you have to break the programming.
Yeah. People need to break their conditioning. And, you know, when I mentioned earlier in the interview that they've lied to us about everything, I, you know, mentioned a couple of big ones like JFK, RFK assassination, 9/11, World Trade Center 7. I hold in my hand Hidden History, the book by Donald Jeffries. And I just want to read a few things here. These are just chapter headings, guys, subchapter headings, actually. And just think about the tyranny of the controllers, right? The rulers of the darkness of this world. Just think of the tyranny and the conspiracies involved in just some of these things I want to read out of this chapter heading. So you've got the Clinton years and the Clinton body count, Ruby Ridge, the Vince Foster murder, Waco. Remember the Branch Davidians and what Janet Reno did? They burned people alive. How about the death of Ron Brown when that plane went down? Janet Reno, the Oklahoma City bombing, TW Flight 800, the Obama body count, the killing of Bin Laden. It just goes on and on and on. How about the McMartin preschool scandal? How about the death of William Colby? How about the finders in the CIA? How about the Bilderbergers in Bohemian Grove? How about the Council on Foreign Relations set up by David Rockefeller, who gleefully bragged about wanting to usher in his New World Order, and it was only because of a dutiful press that kept it quiet that they were able to proceed and get this thing almost across the finish line. Guys, you got to break your conditioning. What haven't they lied to us about? All right. Guys, thank you so much for being on today. Go ahead, Jaron.
I was just going to say, if they've lied about everything that we can touch and verify and go check, then why would you ever believe that about somewhere you can never go verify? That's what they're telling us the truth about. So they're lying about sickness and illness and all this stuff, but they're telling us the truth about what's 25 trillion miles away. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. And about censorship, Sean, I just wanted to say one other thing, that if you haven't heard of Rockfin, please check it out. It's a place where we're still allowed to have free speech. A lot of us are there. It's $15 a month, but you get everybody. So if you look here, I just pulled up the people from this category, but you've got, you know, myself, you've got Sam Tripoli, you've got Eddie Bravo, all his stuff is here, his podcast, you've got Sean Hibbler, you've got Glowbusters is here, you've got Witsit, Karen B., Troubling Tribune, I'm just going, you know, Rogue Ways, Lauren, what's her name? Lindsay.
And one thing is, it is $15 a month for everything, but there's also lots of free content on there. I'd say more than half of it's free content. So go check it out. And then if you want to dig in deeper, you know, then, you know, think about the $15 a month.
Yeah. And people that have been removed from other platforms like Foundering, I don't know if you remember him, Sean, he was the one who had the song Speed of Science. He sits at his piano and plays music. Really funny guy, but he got eliminated from YouTube, of course. But, you know, all those people are coming here. Media Bear, I'm sure you've seen some of his work. He's here. Brian Stavely from Dose of Reality. Benjamin Balderson does great work. So all these guys are under one roof where for $15 you get every bit of content, which is a great deal for somebody who's still allowing free speech. So, again, if you want to be at YouTube, that's fine. Just recognize that YouTube, you're getting a dumbed down version of everything that we say because we have to be careful or else we will lose our channels. So for me, I have to use, you know, little hidden words, and then I try and do about half the show on YouTube, and then I move over here for the rest. But a lot of people haven't even heard of it. So if you are looking for somewhere that is like YouTube was, say, in 2014, 2015, Rockfin's probably the best spot for now. I don't get too married to any spot because I know how it goes. Somebody would probably eventually come in and buy them out and take it over, and we'll have to go somewhere else. But for now, it's working and working well.
All right. Very good. Our guests have been David Weiss. David, thank you so much. Always good to see you, my friend.
Thank you. And flatearthdave.com. Just check it out and, you know, learn the truth. Check out the crash course on my website. It's free. It's just a list. It's a set of videos. Excuse me. It's a set of videos that you can't watch three and not have to reassess your entire world.
Very good. And Jaron, thank you so much. Here's the website, guys. Here's the YouTube channel, guys. Jaronism over there on YouTube. Jaron, thank you, brother.
Thank you so much. Be here anytime you want me.
All right. By the way, my 17-year-old boy says hello to both of you. He gets excited about these woo topics.
All right. I like him.
All right. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. We very much appreciate it. And a gentle reminder, every single day for free, you can get the antidote to the corporate propaganda and the Mockingbird mainstream media lies over at sgtreport.com, absolutely for free. Thephaser.com, that's another one too, guys. And of course, thelibertymill.com. Thanks for your support. Thanks for waking up, too. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
We have been targeted quite heavily Our payments processors have been targeted. Our banking has been targeted. We were removed from a bank, HSBC, for political reasons.